Welcome to a Shoujo bonus episode where we cover different things that aren't our typical shoujo anime coverage. This time we continue our journey through the Jurassic Park movies with Jurassic World, the first of a new trilogy of reboots, kind of, but mostly kind of sequels, but also kind of reboots. It's kind of weird how this movie fits in with the rest of it.
But also Sorry, I've already ruined it.
And I'm doing the intro this time because it's a bonus episode. With me, as always, is Sarah.
That's me. I was going to say, it's technically not a trilogy since they're making another Jurassic World. And
that's
then change
true.
It to Jurassic blah, blah, blah.
They should have gone bigger. Jurassic Galaxy.
Dinosaurs in space.
So
if you guys haven't listened to our Jurassic Park coverage, you totally can. If you're just here for World as a preparation for Jurassic World Rebirth, welcome. This obscure shoujo anime podcast is doing Jurassic Park movies because of me, because it's my favorite thing ever and always will be. Not this movie in particular, but Jurassic Park. Yes. So excited to talk some more. And for those who have listened to our other ones, Joe's going to be taking the wheel since he can do a recap and not an actual retelling of the entire movie.
It's a little bit of a retelling of the entire story. Oh my gosh.
Just not reciting the entire movie, scene for scene, actor expressions and all.
I'm learning things about this movie. So Jurassic World came out in 2015,
yes.
14 years after Jurassic Park 3. It was directed by Colin Trevorrow, who I'm reading other things that he's done.
I wasn't familiar with them beforehand. Not that I
was not
either. Directors.
He made his directorial debut with the science fiction comedy Safety Not Guaranteed in 2012. So he was only 3 years.
Oh, wow. That's, I wonder if he had connections with Spielberg. And that's, I'm like, how else would he be getting his hands on this puppy?
I don't know. But yeah, this was kind of his breakout thing as Jurassic World. Also, apparently he was the co-writer and director of Star Wars: Duel of the Fates, which was the original draft of The Rise of Skywalker, the worst Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
Duel of the Fates is the song.
That's what it was originally called.
That's the song, though. That's the
song
title.
Yeah, but that's what the draft of the third movie was going to be.
You can't steal the name of the song for your movie.
Yeah.
Come up with your own, something better than Rise of the Skywalker or whatever, because that sounds stupid. I can't even recall those movies at all.
Let me look at the story writers real quick, because that's kind of interesting. Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver are a husband and wife screenwriting and film production duo.
That's cute.
They wrote the Planet of the Apes reboot.
That's been pretty well received, right?
Yeah, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
They would go on to write the live-action Mulan movie, which I heard was terrible.
I did watch that.
Oh, and they co-wrote all of the Avatar sequels that they're going to, starting with The Way of Water, a movie that sucked. The plot sucked. The plot is trash of Way of Water.
Well, it's not like the first one was remarkable either. It was a rip-off of Ferngully.
Yes.
Those aren't movies you watch for the plot.
It was
guess.
Better than Way of Water, which pained me to watch. It took physical damage.
I didn't watch it. I'm just
it
so
not
uninterested in the Avatar movies. I'm not into visual spectacle enough.
They just look nice. That's it. Don't listen to the dialogue. Don't think about what's happening. Don't ask yourself about what it is and isn't a family. Just don't do it. Anyway, this movie costed like a bajillion dollars. The budget was $150 to $215 million, which is like way more than any of the other movies.
That is a lot, but and I didn't mention this last time as what I've been up to, but I started listening to a podcast called What Went Wrong, and it goes into like production and behind the scenes of movies. It can be like a movie that either flopped or just was super troubled during production or has since aged badly. And they were doing one on The Lone Ranger, like the recent movie with Johnny Depp, and that one was like, I think they spent over like a 200 million. It like super bombed and did not make the money back at all. Because you also, is that like including marketing and stuff, that price?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Because marketing is crazy,
I imagine
too.
It does.
Well, interesting connection between Jurassic World and Avatar is that Chris Pratt had been, what is it called when you go for a movie?
Auditioning
for the main guy in Avatar, and was told he didn't have a main character energy, basically.
Well, let me tell you,
hero energy.
Let me tell you, he does not have main character or action hero energy in this movie either, I don't think.
Oh, snap. My grandma's gonna fight you to the death.
Okay.
Freaking loves him.
This movie made a bajillion dollars though, so it's fine that it was expensive, I guess.
Because he had been, had he gotten in shape specifically for this role, or is there anything else? Oh, we're talking about Chris Pratt. I guess we didn't mention.
They made him get in shape for Guardians of the Galaxy for sure.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, that was his first.
He had to do that stupid Marvel diet or whatever that like destroys you.
Oh, dear. I know. And then as soon as he's all high, he's like, bye, Anna Faris. I have no idea about their relationship. I'm just making stuff up. But she was there with them. And then once he got hot, he's like, I'm going to go for some young girl and join the weird celebrity church thing, right?
My understanding is that he's a weird guy. It turns out after the Lego movie, he started taking on a bunch of roles I did not like. And also I heard he was really weird and religious. And therefore, I have soured on Chris Pratt quite a bit.
Yeah. Yep.
But in this movie, it's not really his fault in this movie. I feel like it's another thing. But we'll get to that when we go through the plot of it.
Yeah,
I don't have anything else to say really about this. Do you have anything else about, like, this movie?
I didn't have very strong... I guess I, like, don't remember feeling any certain way about them remaking these movies that I'm obsessed with over a child. But can you believe there wasn't a direct follow-up after the incredible film Jurassic Park 3? That it took them this long to come back? That one was so good.
It's pretty weird.
I guess... I feel like this is one of the big kickoffs of, like, just redoing old stuff. Like, this is one of the first ones, I feel like, that at least I noticed them remaking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I guess it's the writers that did the Planet of the Apes reboot, which is kind of what I associate with that, which is just like, what if we, like, dip back into the well somewhere?
Totally.
Yeah. All right, do we want to go into it?
Let's do it.
Hold on. The musical score was composed by Michael Giannicio, who had previously scored the video games Warpath, Jurassic Park, and The Lost World, Jurassic Park. That's very funny.
Okay. Yeah, the music was fine.
Went up from the big games, went from video games to the movie.
It wasn't, like, standalone interesting. I would listen on its own like I would with the other movies, but it was fine. You can't beat John Williams.
No. All right, well, here we go. This movie is 2 hours and 4 minutes long, and boy, did it feel like it. Jurassic Park, we open, or Jurassic World, we open on a dino egg hatching while the words Jurassic World ominously appear on screen. Also, I'm doing the recap this time because I took notes. We cut to birds. A really fake looking CG bird. I watched this with my friend and she was like, that bird looks so fake.
I did like the... Do we start with the egg thing first?
We start with the egg thing, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I didn't like the placement because it's basically like two eggs cracking open, but they like placed the logo right over the hole in the eggs. I don't know. It should have been like I was just like, it's not super legible. Don't do it like that, but whatever.
Yeah, hard to read. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two kids, Gray and Zach, drive to the airport to go see their aunt. It's Christmas, or like it's snowing where they are, and I'm like, is this
they're
a Christmas movie?
Because
then they're
music.
Also playing Christmas music, mm-hmm. like at the airport. When
airport,
did this come out?
Yeah,
this was released. It was released
they
in May 29th.
I was gonna say they always come out during the summer.
Okay, why is it a Christmas thing then?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess maybe it's like the kids are out of school. Like people, this is like a big booming time probably for visitors at the park.
But it's not summer break.
Well, I don't know. People, for some reason, people want to go to tropical places for holidays, especially if they live in the north, I guess. Like that's Christmas true. With the Cranks, if you haven't seen that horrible movie.
I have not.
Tim Allen. Yeah.
We get, while they're going to the airport, we got some stuff about how Zach has a girlfriend he clearly doesn't like very much. She tries to like, I think she tells him that she loves him, but then he's just like, whatever.
Yeah, he's such a, like, the typical teenage boy who like has no emotions and has a just blank dead eye stare. And or I very much was like, he's very much like my brother, where it's just like too cool for school, always has the goddamn earbud in your ear, like listen to, you know, like don't be listening while I'm talking, mean to little brother. I love Judy Greer, so she's not in this very much, but I do like her. She's the mom.
Right.
I saw her in person once.
They board a boat from Costa Rica to go to Dinosaur Island, Isla Nublar.
Yes. We're back to the original. Yeah, that's the original one where the original.
They're back at the original island. They built a new park. Some lady who isn't their aunt picks them up. And I note that this park seems much more advanced. How much time is separated between this? And is it like real time difference?
Because
there's
real
like holograms
time.
And stuff. I don't know if they can do holograms.
They can't now, but in this version of our current day and age, I guess so.
So what?
Like the park was in 1993 and
yeah,
the vehicles that they find are dated to then and all that.
The new park is huge and has a big pool and a giant pyramid in the park. We meet Claire, the aunt they're supposed to meet, who is, I have thing, wearing a terrible outfit. I don't like her outfit.
Her white get, well, it's very much like, here's the super...
She's corporate.
Yeah, tight.
This kind of plays like a Hallmark movie a little bit.
How so?
You know what I mean?
I've never watched like, Hallmark movies.
She's so career-driven, she's so... You know,
she
wants is this stuff. And
she
then she
just
meets
needs
the guy
a man
who's like
to
rough
loosen
and tumble.
Her up. Yeah.
And that's basically the plot of what happens here. It's basically a Hallmark movie for part
it's
of it.
It's not
anyway.
A dad movie like the others.
It's not a dad movie, but it's still about being a parent, kind of.
God, can I talk? I hate Gray's hair so much. I just want to like rip it off his head. It's too fluffy. And also he wears the chest belt on his backpack. You know, they had like the little chest strap
the
on
strap
backpacks.
And he's strapped in. Okay?
I know, he's like such a nerd.
Claire gives a tour to investors about why they should sponsor an attraction. The people want bigger, meaner dinosaurs, she says. It turns out they made a big ass new dinosaur, but they haven't finished it yet. So they're like, you should sponsor this dinosaur. And they're like, we'll do it. Zach and Grade go to Jurassic Park exhibits. That's pretty cool. Like a fun history museum with the holograms and stuff, but they're not into it because they're teenage boys. At least Zach's not into it because he's a teenage boy. Gray's into it because he's a kid.
Yes.
They meet up with Claire, who they haven't seen in 7 years. She dumps them under the care of Zar, their handler lady, who's British and doesn't do anything, who
Zara.
Follows them around. Zara, yeah. Whatever.
Unimportant character.
She's bad with children because she's a corporate woman. I'm saying that about Claire. Claire's bad with children because she's a corporate woman. Claire goes to the control room and gets mad at a guy for having a vintage OG Jurassic Park t-shirt. Because
we
got to remind
this
you
guy.
Of the first
it's
movie.
It's Jake Johnson. Love
I
him.
I don't know
from
who
New
that
Girl.
Is.
He's from New Girl.
Okay. I was really wondering Nick what this Miller. Guy's deal was because he keeps showing up, but he doesn't do anything. So I'm like, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, he's kind of like sidekicky vibes, but it's a weird role for, I don't know. I just love him as an actor, so I was happy to see him. But also, I don't know. I feel like he represents the chaos stuff, and she's, like, fighting the chaos.
Ugh. Kind of. I'll just talk about my big takeaway right here, this movie, which is this movie tries to do way too many things and ends up doing all of them very poorly. Claire says that they landed the sponsorship, so that's good. And also a fence in one of the sectors of the field is gone down because it's failed. And this is where I say the UI in the control room looks like a Call of Duty map. It's like a big like bird's eye view with like the blinking sectors. I'm like, this looks nothing. This looks like a video game.
Yeah, I guess we didn't touch on the actors, but Claire Deering, she is played by Dallas Bryce?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, that. She's like often plays these like prissy roles. She's also like that in The Help. Just very like uptight typecast.
I don't think I've seen anything that she's in.
No, you haven't seen The Help?
No.
That's a very good movie. You should watch it.
She must have been like a young actress. She's in Apollo 13.
I haven't seen that.
She's only 44, so she would have been like would have been like 12 at the time or something.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything. Spider-Man 3, I don't remember that.
Isn't she Gwen Stacy in that one?
Yeah, she is. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen any of these movies.
Okay.
I don't know any of the actors in this, basically. Claire meets up with Mr. Maserani, the owner of the park. He's a fun guy who flies the helicopter, even though he's not that good at it. He cares more about how fun the park is over profits because he's a fun guy.
He's a fun cool billionaire. Boss.
He's the cool boss. I say in my notes, I hope this guy turns out to be evil. He doesn't really, and it's disappointing. They fly to the sector holding the new dinosaur, but Claire is not into the flying because she gets kind of motion sick. We learn that John Hammond's dying wish was for this asshole to reopen Jurassic Park because John Hammond is a villain, all caps.
Well, we don't hear it from him directly, so who knows?
That's true. Awful. But this is the last time we're ever going to hear about him, I assume.
Right, it's confusing because it's like this. He doesn't run InGen, right?
What but company InGen is this?
Own the stuff? I don't know. Because he's separate from InGen. So I guess he just knew Hammond from being a rich guy and somehow. But like you would think InGen would have the authority to give that to anyone.
This makes no sense to me. Okay, so InGen is the company, right? It was John Hammond's company, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're not. And then they go into bankruptcy. And then like the shit guy takes over in Jurassic Park 2. But that doesn't work. So I assume they become insolvent.
Well, he gets eaten, so I guess he's not the head. But so maybe Hammond got it back after the whole disaster of The Last World.
But then why are they like military contract? They show up as military contractors later. Who is this company? What company is this?
No, I guess just Maserani like Corp or something.
Yeah,
but InGen, just, like, it's not just that InGen is military contract, but they hired people who do that. Like,
but what is InGen then? Or InGen.
It's like a biological, it's like genetic engineering. And I guess it's just that, I don't know, that is possibly the next like horizon of, I don't know, biological warfare. So I don't.
It's weird. They turn into like Umbrella Corporation all of a sudden. And I don't understand what's happening. Yeah. Anyway, Claire and Mr. Maserani land on site and the walls are bigger than before, which they state. The new dinosaur is intelligent and maybe a little aggressive. Everybody's scared of it, but it's like a rush to be around, so it'll sell. It has good senses. I don't understand the sentence I wrote.
It senses heat.
It senses like heat a snake, like a snake. Yeah, so it can sense heat.
The thermal radiate or whatever.
We also learned that this dino is a big sicko because it ate its sibling. Ooh, the dinosaur is a sicko.
Joe, I am dying not wanting to reiterate every single detail of every scene.
All right, you want to do it? Go ahead.
No. It's for the best for everyone.
No, give the recap.
No, you do it.
You can do it. It's fine. No. I'll make sure it goes fast because we'll go off of my bullet points, but you can do it.
Okay. So yeah, it's like, ooh, scary, but obviously there's a few safety concerns. So Maserani tells Claire, hey, I've got this guy who works with the raptors and they don't escape, so hit him up. And she's like, oh, cool. God, I know who you're talking about.
He's got a raptor guy.
Yeah, so we roll up to Chris Pratt, a.k.a. Owen Grady, which I think is a fun name. It's pretty, like, boring name, but it sounds good together. But, yeah, so he's the man with the clicker for the raptors training them. You know, the guy freaking holding his
hand. He trains
hand
them like dogs.
Magic, yes.
Like, literally like a dog.
Which, yeah, because I... And we learn a lot more about these raptors in the second movie, kind of, as far as like their origin. But yeah, he's just, there's four raptors. They, for the most part, I mean, obviously there's some unruliness, but for the most part, he has them following like vocal cues, blah, blah, blah. But yes, we only care about Blue, even though my favorite, I think I noted, was Harley or Echo. I like the striped ones, the ones like from The Lost World. And then we have the jackass, let's see, Hoskins, who is from InGen, who I guess is the one who hired Owen Grady to train the raptors.
Is that what he's hiring him for? I didn't understand this. Because it's like the InGen guy shows up and he's like, we got to do military tests, man. And Owen's like, get out of here, dude.
Yes. Yeah. So I think I don't know that how, because he's from the Navy, but I don't know why that qualifies him to do this, but whatever. He, for some reason, has been selected. I don't know what information was given to him in advance, or if he's just like trained these assets, whatever. But obviously he cares about the animals and thinks the ideas of Hoskins are stupid and a bad idea because somebody paid attention to, I guess, the last movie, but not enough to not work with these raptors.
Okay, but like Owen works for Maserati, right? InGen. No, does he work for InGen? Because like if he's a military contractor, then like what is he talking about? Tell. Like, of course they want to use him for war. You work for the war contractors.
Well, it doesn't seem like he intends on doing that. So I don't know if he just like took the job just cause, or
it doesn't make sense.
We don't get a lot of like motivation for why he's here. We don't get any of that, but I guess we don't get that with anyone. People are just happen to be here and we just take what happens in the movie and nothing else. But yeah, so we see he's got them under control, but let's see. We have Hoskins saying like, oh, he's, you know, Mr. Maserati, you think he's golden boy? Nah, with that much money, being the eighth richest man, obviously some of his investment has to be in something related with like weapons or stuff like that. So that guy ain't so great either, kind of.
The eighth richest man in the world right now, according to Forbes, is Larry Page. So it would be like if he was the founder of Google.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, rich guy. I feel like no one could sink this park seems so unbelievably expensive. I feel like everyone would be poor doing it.
Who's going to go to the park where everybody died the first time? They just don't talk about that. It just never comes up.
The marketing campaign has work cut out.
People died in Jurassic Park 1. They died in Jurassic Park 2. And a dinosaur came to San Diego and someone died. And then
I guess lots Jurassic people Park died. 3 is
not a big deal, but whatever.
Yeah, I like... Did Jurassic Park? Yeah, no, we don't hear anything about the original cast. No. Whatever.
Pig gets
little
loose.
Thing. I could go without this scene, honestly. I don't like this scene. But basically to show that, you know, they are still dinosaurs and dangerous. But yeah, Pig gets loose. Newbie on the team gets dragged into the pen with the raptors and they're all surrounding him, and Owen like opens the gate to go in with them. He holds them off. Newbie gets out and then, you know, he's like, lower the gate, and then he does like a little, you know, somersault out of there. But the raptors
the
like
Pratt
glide. Yes. Can't they love that hand thing, man?
He's gonna do that a million more times throughout the franchise.
It's magic, I guess. Yes. Yep. That's you're correct on that. But yeah, you like the line, you ever wonder why there was a job opening? So who knows what happened to the last guy on the job? I know, I feel like you should do it, Joe. You gotta do it with your writing.
Okay.
I feel myself just like
we
going.
Get that scene to prove that Chris Pratt's a cool guy, that Owen is a cool guy. We need a scene that determines Owen is a cool guy. We're going to mention out loud that Owen's a cool guy about 1,000 more times before this movie ends. We cut to kids at a baby petting zoo. Gray's having a good time, but Zach is too cool for school.
The cutest baby dinosaurs ever.
Oh, it's awesome. I don't like the CG dinosaurs. Like, I think they look bad, but this is like having a petting zoo for dinosaurs is a fun idea. Also, they get away from their handler, so they're on their own now.
See, I can't go through my notes when I'm the one doing it. I had good points for stuff.
Okay. Do I need to wait for you to get those out?
I just wanted to say, and maybe I'm reading into it, trying to be like, look, I noticed things, but it's the visitor center where Claire sees the kids, and it's similar to the first movie where Hammond's coming down the stairs and he's greeted by the kids, but this time it's Claire like descending and she's like greeting the kids. So I was like, that kind of felt similar, where the kids get introed into the park and stuff. It felt whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, that's good.
Also, Aunt Claire being weird with the kids, I identify with.
Yep. Yeah,
that's it.
Let's see. Zach and Gray scour the park and end up at the T-Rex Kingdom exhibit. There's a T-Rex that eats a goat, just like the first movie, but nobody dies this time. They fixed it.
I think they could have made it more interesting than just straight up having the goat still tied to cement block.
But it's a callback, but not for any of the people in the movie, because none of them were there.
But the callback. There's better callbacks there could be.
For just the audience.
Yeah.
Zach's mom calls.
Yeah, that would have been better with another old character being like, oh god, not this again.
Yeah, but nobody can recognize it because none of them were in the first movie.
They don't get it.
Zach's mom calls and realizes that Claire isn't with them, so she calls her and berates her for not spending time with her nephews. Claire resolves to spend more time with them tomorrow. Also, Claire says that she's not going to have kids. And this is a whole thing, because this is a movie about Claire wanting to have kids, because the first Jurassic Park was about Grant wanting to have kids, but then he didn't. And the second one, and the reboot, is about her. They gender swapped it, but it's basically still about being a dad. But it's about being a mom this time.
Boo.
Claire goes
nothing
to
wrong
see-
with moms.
Claire goes to see Owen and asks him to check out the new dinosaur. Also, they've apparently like had something in the past, because Owen is like very aggressively hitting on her.
Yeah, I guess they went on a failed first date.
Yes.
Previously.
Chris Pratt is doing his best Top Gun impression here. It's ridiculous.
Just the cool guy smolder.
Just like, because he's got his shirt up and he's like, oh, I'm just the cool hot guy.
And, yeah.
That, like, oh, you think you don't want me, but you do. I'm Chris Pratt. I was not into him in this movie. They have like some parts of this are funny, where he's like criticizing her for bringing an itinerary to the date.
Yeah.
But then apparently also he was wearing board shorts to the date. So, you know, it was just bad. It's just, these people are not meant for each other.
Not compatible. Yeah.
However, he's not into like checking out the new dinosaur because, quote, animals are not numbers on a spreadsheet, unquote, because I need to say the themes out loud. He continues to hit on her, but she's like, nah, you're coming because I'm your boss. And he comes along. I say the chemistry between them is okay. I think they're fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not bad.
Not bad.
I've seen much worse chemistry.
Yeah.
In many other movies. It's just that this is the most romance focus we've ever gotten in this entire franchise. Romance has never been a priority in this.
No.
But this is like a love story dinosaur movie.
But it's not, because they don't spend enough
time. Because
like,
it's about the people
anything.
And not the dinosaurs.
This is like one of the 8 plot lines that happens in this movie.
People can be brought together by one day of walking.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Zach and Gray go to a show where they feed a shark. When they feed a shark to a big dinosaur fish, the Mosasaurus, like it's SeaWorld.
I've got bone to pick. Hey, okay. World. Bray Wyatt's endangered, I'm pretty sure. I don't think we should be feeding them for an let's preserve the existing animals, please, not for the sake of the extinct ones. Oh my god.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Breed your own, unless they're breeding them themselves or something.
They probably are.
They better not
be
catching
like the
those.
Reject ones that have like
god
defects or something. Claire and Owen show up, and she explains that the new dinosaur is here and how he works. She's like, oh, he's like, well, what's it based on? She's like, oh, it's like based on a T-Rex and some other stuff. And he's like, that's not the best. That's not what I would have done. And then he's also like, is it raised alone in this cage? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, that's bad. It like, it has no social skills. It's totally antisocial. I noted that the product placement in this movie is insane. There's Starbucks logos everywhere. There's Chrysler logos. Mm-hmm. There was like T-Mobile or somebody was sponsoring
Mercedes
at the beginning.
Vehicles
like,
only.
It's just, they're throwing, it's just constant. It's like I'm watching the Truman Show.
Well, I guess it's kind of part of the theme is that the whole place is like that and not about the dinosaurs at all. It's just about like making money.
Yeah, but the movie is also like that. The movie is also not about the dinosaurs.
Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, and
yeah,
all the stuff.
No,
Jimmy Fallon somehow is in here.
It's a good self-own, you know?
Yeah.
You think Jurassic Park's about dinosaurs, but instead we made it about all this other stuff that sucks. The dinosaur isn't coming to get the food because they drop some food and they're like, well, you can take a look at it, Owen, but it doesn't do anything. Instead, they can't find it at all. No thermal signatures. And Owen notices some claw marks on the wall and they are like, oh, did it climb the wall? That's crazy. How could it have done that? But I guess it must have because it's not here. Claire's like, they can track it in the control room. So she calls it in and they start tracking it. She drives away while this is happening to go to the HQ. Meanwhile, Owen and some security guards go into the cage.
Stupid, dumb.
To investigate the claw marks because they're so convinced the dinosaur isn't there. They're like, I guess it really did climb like 40 feet. That's wild. Command gets back to Claire to tell them that the dinosaur is still in the cage, and they tell Owen and the guys to get out of there. The dinosaur is here, and it eats one of the guys. The security guards opens up the main door to escape, and Owen barely makes it out, but the dinosaur also barely makes it out, so that's not good.
Lord.
I noticed this part's fun because we don't get a good look at the dinosaur. They keep this up for a while, and it's pretty good. But when they do the final reveal, it's like not dramatic.
No, I didn't think it was interesting enough looking. Oh my god, the big bad in this new movie looks stupid, and they've shown it way too much. It looks
in the new one,
defective or so, I don't know, something not right.
The security guard gets eaten after the dinosaur flips a truck. Owen douses himself in gas while hiding under a crane to mask his scent and gets away. Or is heat signature? Is that what he's masking?
I guess it's that, right?
I guess it's that.
I don't know enough about survival.
They do this, and then later on, this doesn't matter because they just hide behind boxes and stuff and it doesn't see them.
Oh my god, yeah, you're right.
I have to say that the sequence where the security guard gets eaten looks extremely goofy to me.
Yeah, something, right? Because it's like the CGI little, we're looking through the overthrown truck. It just looked very, he looked strange.
The CG dinosaurs look bad.
Yes, it's much better to have a mix of practical and CGI.
I think it's bad. I think it looks bad. I think it looks bad the entire time.
Maybe it's just like so every day now that like people don't pay as much attention to it as they did back then. Like, what do you think? How does it measure up to the CGI of the original movie?
Oh, I think it looks way worse.
Yeah. So because we're also comparing it to those ones and like they move differently and they.
Yeah, it's not that like the computer animation looks bad. It's like the staging for scenes is all driven by CG stuff moving around, which means that like they don't like the dinosaurs really don't interact with the people very much in this movie.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of dinosaur fights where I'm watching CG dinosaurs fight each other and it sucks.
Yeah.
Because dinosaur fights are not interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure because the only parts we really see the physical contact is like when the raptors are in those little head things where it's just the head. So I'm sure those are like practical.
Yeah, probably. I mean, some stuff is because like I think they touch like a dinosaur later on and it looks like it doesn't look CG to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's just hard to tell. I don't know. There's weirdness going on in this movie. Anyway, Claire returns to HQ. They're tracking the escaped dinosaur. It should be shocked from an implant if it gets too close to a fence, though, so they should be okay. Mr. Maserati is also there and wants to handle this quietly because that dinosaur is expensive. They send out a private security team to go take it down.
Yeah, I'm like when they first say it's in the cage, like the feeling of dread that Claire must feel. As a character, like, oh, that makes me so anxious just thinking about having that scenario happen when you're in charge of everything.
Yeah, that's terrible. I don't understand why they went in there.
So dumb, because he's supposed to be like the guy coming for safety purposes.
I know. And they just went in there to be like, yeah, there are scratches on the wall, just like we can see from the from the viewing platform.
For real. Ugh.
Elsewhere, Owen's coworker, whose name I didn't catch, talks more to the engine guy about the raptors.
The French guy, yeah.
Yeah, the French guy. I don't know.
I don't remember.
He's
we
really
don't
not
get
important.
Very much about him either.
They get distracted by the escaped dinosaur, and the engine guy calls his buddies about it in a potential opportunity. He's like, oh, we got a live one, boys. Zack and Owen continue seeing the park, and Owen asks his brother if their parents are getting divorced, which they totally are. And Zack does a terrible job consoling him.
Oh my god. Okay, I was gonna say, we don't... See, look, you're skipping. There's a lot of dumb stuff not to mention that happens in the movie.
Uh-huh.
You skip the wolf story by the Hoskins guy, of which I was like, he probably only got... His wife probably only attacked him because he's a piece of shit. And it's, I'm just assuming it's like a Lorena Bobbitt situation where he sucks and so she attacked him and then he says his wolf... I was so dumb. I was like, you are definitely the kind of douche who would like... think it was cool to have a wild animal for a pet.
When did this happen?
This is what Hoskins is talking to the
engine guy,
French guy. Yeah,
yeah. Everything this guy says just is.
I was like, this is so dumb
me.
And not important. Why is this in the movie? I guess just
I don't understand what they're doing with this guy.
No,
this is one of the plot lines. Okay, so like, there's so many plot lines. There's this engine guy. There's like the romance thing between. I'll recap it when we get to the end, but it's too much stuff.
Sorry,
and it's all resolved.
It's a lot.
I will say that there's a part where they show you that you can kayak with dinosaurs, and that sounds really cool, even though it's incredibly unsafe.
But it sounds cool. Yeah, that does sound cool. Reminiscent of the boat on the river from JP3.
Yeah. Owen shows up at HQ and says the dinosaur clearly set a trap for them because it's very smart. And they're like, we should kill it. And they're like, no, that dinosaur costs $26 million. We can't kill it. That's expensive. But like, it has to cost more than like two dead guys. Like, you have to pay those guys out. It's a lot of money.
Okay, there's no way dinosaurs are doing that. Like, maybe the trap set by the raptors in JP3 where they leave that guy alive for them to go and, you know, take care of them and then attack them as a whole. Maybe that could happen. I don't believe this would happen.
This is crazy.
But
this dinosaur is a genius.
Okay, God. I have another, like, there's no way thing with this dinosaur in just a second.
The security team shows up to where the beacon is, but it turns out the dinosaur has ripped it out of itself, and everybody at HQ is stunned.
Because she remembered where they put it in. There's no way!
She remembers where they injected it in.
I'm assuming that was put in if, like...
This dinosaur was a genius.
Like, probably sedated or something when this has happened. Like, there's no way!
Yeah.
So, at some point in the control room, we hear, like, radio chatter. And, right, again, listening to this with subtitles for the first time. On that radio chatter is the mention of Cretaceous crew, which I wonder if that was, like, they already had plans to do Cretaceous camp. Or Camp Cretaceous or something. And I wonder if this is like an Easter egg for that or not. Or that's just a segment of the park.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, blood starts dripping on the security guy who picked up the beacon because it turns out that the dinosaur has camouflage and has been disguised as a tree. And then the dinosaur goes ham on these guys and murders all of them.
Yeah. Pratt's like, you went after them with non-lethals.
I don't think it made a difference, man. Those guys got rocked.
You're going to shoot it and nothing's going to happen shooting it either, my guy.
The scene's kind of fun because like I like having the soldiers flatline because we're still kind of playing coy. Although we saw the whole dinosaur here and it looks bad. I don't like how it looks. It looks like unremarkable
to
me. It's
not interesting. No. Well, it's like weird. It's like big, but with a tiny head.
Yeah.
Like. I don't like the way it looks. And if you're going to make a monster, it should be a cool looking monster like the Spinosaurus.
Yep. Jurassic Park 3, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And a cool big dinosaur.
Yeah.
Owen tells them to evacuate the island and kill the dinosaur. But they're like, that's bad for business to evacuate the island. So they're just going to like not do that. Instead, they're going to do it in stages where they close the back stuff and then they kind of just pile. And maybe they won't notice that the park is closing. I don't understand what their plan is. They're kind of just in denial about this being a disaster.
Yeah, this is not. Obviously, they didn't do drills. They didn't do dino escape drills with the teams.
No.
You
I
would
feel
think
like
they would have a huge, like, they would super have to invest in security measures after what happened in order to even open the park.
How? This is what I don't understand. Everybody's going to Dinosaur Murder Island. Like, they probably expect to have to evacuate it. Like, this is not a surprise.
Oh, my God.
How much could refunding this many people for one day cost you?
That's it.
This guy is the eighth richest guy in the world. Who fucking cares? This is
No, that's not the thing. Is the fact that the dinosaur escapes at all is the thing that would make them have to shut down, I guess.
Oh, yeah. But you could just you can cover that up. You could just say, oh, we had to like, you know, there was like a fence malfunction or something.
I bet they have like a bunch of internet sleuths who are like trying to figure out what they're up to behind
this would
the
be
scenes.
Wild in like internet culture in 2015. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's no way they can get away with this. Morons for thinking we can do this. Zach and Owen are in line for a gyroscope ride or a gyrosphere ride where you ride around in a sphere,
which is insane that it's free roaming. You get to pick where you're going.
This is wild.
Like, what the hell? That can't be right.
We get this. There's a scene where this happens and I do not understand because it looks like it's on a track. Like it looks like it just automatically goes. Anyway, they're the last ones on the ride before the poor teen worker has to shut the ride down in a scene that's very funny.
And every time I see like a very minor like one scene character, I'm like, I think for Jurassic World they might have had some kind of contest where you got to be in the movie, and I keep being like, is this the role that was like the one, or is it this one? Is it the guy operating? Is the guy who got eaten? Like, I don't know.
I haven't mentioned this, but up to this point, Zach has been like aggressively hitting on every woman he sees nonstop, and it's ridiculous. This never comes up again.
Gross.
I don't know why this happened.
Just to make him it so obvious that he's a terrible person so that he can have character development, I guess.
But he doesn't really even get character development. Anyway, I don't know what's happening here. But they get on that ride. Back at the lab, Dr. Wu, who's here, he's back. What's up?
He's back.
Explains that he can't give a full explanation for why the dinosaur can, like, go camo mode. But he's pretty jazzed to hear that it can apparently camouflage its heat signature. That's cool. He seems very nonchalant about it. Mr. Maserati is like, why did you make this crazy dinosaur? And Wu's like, you told me to make a crazy dinosaur, man. That was, like, the whole job. And then Mr. Maserati is like, you're shut down. But Wu is indignant. He's like, I'm just doing what I'm best at, man. You think I'm going to like care if my dinosaurs eat multiple people all the time throughout three movies? I don't care. I'm Wu. What was going on with this scene?
It's very clear he feels entitled, I guess, because he's the only person from any of the past movies to make it to this movie.
I'm getting a check from this movie. Okay. I need to be in it.
That's right. Well, I mean, because he's incredibly unimportant character in the first movie, even though he's like a substantial character in the book, and he's kind of villainous in the book. So I guess he's finally growing into the book Wu here in Jurassic World.
That makes more sense, because this just kind of feels out of nowhere. Like, I didn't get the sense of the first movie that he's like just in it for the like pure love of the game kind of thing and doesn't care about the consequences. And here he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Obviously, they're very they're so loosey-goosey in this version, right? I feel like everything was super secretive the first time. And so, like, he probably was much more, like, structure around him. So he couldn't, or he probably didn't feel any ownership at the time because he was just one guy in this, like, new field and blah, blah, blah. But now that, I don't know, that the whole world gets to see his creations, maybe that's just blown his ego out of proportion or something.
I guess it's weird. He does get this really nice talking point where he's talking about how they're making the dinosaurs people want and not the ones that would actually exist, which I thought was nice. It's always fun to be
we actually know
about dinosaur stuff. And also, I feel like
they were
reinforces what was going on in the third movie where Grant is like, those are not dinosaurs. Like, those are just some thing those guys made. So it's fun that they're carrying.
Well, even
on
in the very first one, right? We learn about the frog DNA substitute, but and in this one, it's much more for this not to actually make the dinosaur, but like to customize a dinosaur to suit the environment that they have available for it.
Yeah.
So they're much more little things they're compensating for.
Zach and Gray in the gyrosphere get a video from Jimmy Fallon explaining that they're in an indestructible orb, so don't worry about dying, because in addition to all the product placement in the world, we're gonna have nonstop cameos forever. They roll through a field of dinosaurs and it's cool. Even though this is like a really weird time to have a wow cool dinosaur moment after the main dinosaur has already escaped and eaten people. This is weird.
Yeah, for sure.
Like what the pacing is like, why are they doing this now? Like this is not a thing you normally do in Jurassic Park movies. Normally at the beginning, you're like,
yeah,
oh, it's so awesome. Look at all these cool dinosaurs. And then they escape and they're like, oh shit, we're going to get eaten by dinosaurs. But they did it out of order here.
Yeah, for some reason, they're keeping Zach and Gray very isolated from what's happening. I guess because they're like the children and they're supposed to be having the more innocent like perspective of what's happening. I don't know.
Their ride is recalled because the park is shutting down. But Zach is like, nah, we'll just stay out late, like whatever. And then he switches to manual controls, which I guess you can just do.
No, you should not be able to do that.
Why can he do this?
Well, I'm assuming because I think he was just able to anyways, or maybe because it was like the ride was shut down. So they're assuming anyone in Gyrospheres would be like maintenance or something where they can free roam.
Well, it's like, but they show a video later where like, oh, how are all the gyroscopes? And they're all coming back except for theirs, which means that like other people are still out there. They're just going on the set path, which makes it seem like it's a set path. But then you could just manual override it. It's weird.
I don't know.
And like go the exact opposite direction. It's not like you can veer off course a little bit.
There would be an area where the sphere can't physically get out of. And for that, right, like there'd be a perimeter for the spheres, not like, oh, let's just go off-roading here. Opportunities.
It's extremely weird.
Very convenient. Those things come back.
At HQ,
really love those gyrospheres.
Okay. It's weird. At HQ, Claire realizes that Zach and Gray are out there somewhere. She calls her assistant, Zara, but she's lost them. Claire calls Zach, but gets the cell signal is bad. She tells the security team to go get them, but they're all too busy to go get them because she realizes that they're in the little orbs. Zach and Gray roll up to an open fence, and Zach is like, oh, we're going off-road, and they roll outside of the fence because the ball can fit through the door?
Nope, should not. Nope. This is all the money they got from sponsors. Where is it going? Not
job.
To freaking barriers. Or safety precautions?
No. So the park is unsafe once again.
Yeah.
But that's not really like
possibly
what this movie
worse
is
than
about.
Before. The first one failed because of like a external force affecting the storm affecting it's because freaking Nedry sabotaged it. This has no sabotage. It just was terrible this was not good from the start.
No.
No excuses.
But that's not really a theme. Anyway. Meanwhile, Claire recruits Owen to go find her nephews, and he's like, how old are they? And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, you don't know how old your nephews are? That's a pretty funny exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I like Owen when
there's
he's being
a fun
a
line they
indignant.
Have in a bit.
They have some fun back and forth.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Zach and Gray are in the forest and roll up to the super dinosaur. They just like accidentally roll up on it. Actually, it appears behind them is what happens. They roll up on a bunch of other dinosaurs. And then they're like, oh, there's like how many, look at how many there are. And there's like, oh, yeah, there's five. And there's like, there's only four. And then they can see it in the reflection. The super dinosaur is right behind them. It starts knocking them around like a pinball while the super dino fights and Angelosaurus, I think. Is that that one?
It has a name. Yeah. Ankylosaurus. No.
He fights the thing that has like the shell and the big ball on its tail.
Yeah, I can't. OK, it's the ball on the tail. I couldn't remember because some of OK. Yes, it's the Ankylosaurus. This part makes me sad. I'm like, I only want dinosaurs to attack people. Don't hurt each other. No, I hate it. Oh my God.
Yeah, they get bashed around some more and their gyroscope gives out, leaving them upside down. This is pretty fun. It's fun watching that ball.
I was
going to
say, Joe, what's the super dinosaur's name?
I don't know. I just called it the super dinosaur for a long time.
No!
It's
Indominus Rex.
I'm not saying that.
You
Indominus
super
Rex.
Dinosaur.
I'm calling it the super dino.
I mean, even Owen's like, that's what you're calling it. Like, yeah.
The super
and Jake Johnson character is like, why don't we just name him Pepsi Saurus?
Yeah, it's a bad name. The super dino wins the fight. And then it goes back to the ball and tries to figure out how to break it open. It pierces the glass with its finger, but then can't crunch it with its teeth. So it tries bashing it open, and Zach unbuckles Gray and himself in just in time to escape on foot. They flee and dive into some water.
Which is reminiscent of the Jeep falling out, or the car falling out of the tree in the first movie where they like had to go before it fully hits the ground.
It's reminiscent, but it's like, not as cool.
Yeah. No. Very much
no. It's distinctly not as cool.
They're weirdly like just slip right out of it.
Yeah, it's like too easy. It doesn't feel like they're actually in any danger in the way that it does in the first one.
Yeah. No cool music playing.
They flee and then dive into some water off of a waterfall that looks like it's only about 6 feet high.
Yeah, dude, it's not that bad.
They stay down under the water long enough to make the super dino think that they drowned, I guess.
I don't know, lose interest, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Zach is proud of Gray for jumping into the water even though it was scary. And I'm like, that waterfall was not that high.
A lot less scary than getting eaten.
This brother moment
way too long.
Doesn't make any sense.
Sorry.
This brother moment doesn't make any sense based on the characterization. Because, like, why are you suddenly close now that you're about to get killed by a dinosaur? What's happening?
Yeah. Whatever.
From this
point
on,
we don't care enough about these characters.
From this point on, Zach is going to be a cool brother now. I don't know why, but it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Claire and Owen arrive at a dinosaur that's been cleaved by the super dino. It's still alive, and Owen tries to soothe it. Claire interacts with it, too, because she's finally acknowledging that it's a real creature and not a line on a spreadsheet. Remember that thing that happened?
She's crying. I'm crying. I cried during this part when I saw it for the first time.
Yep, and then the dinosaur dies.
Poor dinosaur.
Me. Let's just ignore the fact that your nephews are dying and deal with this dinosaur real quick. They totally forget what they're supposed to be here for. Also, Owen has, like, the tiniest gun. What is he going to do with that gun?
It's, like, the smallest little rifle ever.
It's not big.
It looks so lightweight. Yeah, no, that doesn't look like it's going to do anything.
They walk over and see a lot of dinosaurs have been cleaved because the super dino is killing for sport. Bum, bum, bum.
Should he even be allowed to have a firearm? I feel like only that squad should.
Dude, I don't know.
You know? I'm overthinking it.
Meanwhile, Injun has just, like, landed a big contingent of paramilitary guys on the beach. They're just here now. They got here within an hour? I don't know.
Maybe. Well, right? We have other sister islands in the five deaths.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe they have, like, a squad on a nearby island.
Claire and Owen arrive at a wrecked gyrosphere. Zach and Gray aren't here, but Owen follows their footprints to the water, and he's like, oh, those kids are so brave for jumping in, but it's only like 5 feet of water, dude. This is not a hard jump. I do this jump all the time when I was a kid. Why are we acting like this is a big deal? Owen shows his masculine dominance by taking charge, while Claire ties her jacket around her waist like she's fucking G.I. Jane all of a sudden. This is where the movie gets extremely goofy.
There is a fun line where she's like, well, can't you just, like, sniff them out? And he's like, or can't you just track them? And he's like, I'm from the Navy, not the Navajo,
which I thought was funny. But he's like, from here on out, I'm in charge, which means you do everything I say. And she's like, ugh, I can't believe you'd say that to me.
Oh, my God. Those heels. There's no way those heels would stay intact this entire
time. Yeah, she's wearing, like, what, like, kitten heels? Why would you wear all white?
Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Elsewhere, Zach and Gray find the wreckage of a crew car, and then they see a facility nearby and go in. It turns out it's the original Jurassic Park building. Hey, remember the first movie, guys?
This is the visitor center.
They walk around while we remember a much better movie. They find an old Jeep and decide to fix it up. That's my note.
That's a good note.
Super Dino is moving closer to the main park, and the engine guy shows up at HQ and tells Mr. Maserati that they can use the raptors to kill the super dino somehow, even though that doesn't make any sense because they weren't trained to do that. Maserati is like, no, that makes no sense, but the engine guy tells him that he's out of options, and Maserati says he'll think about it. Elsewhere, they put a minigun on a helicopter to shoot the dinosaur, and Maserati's like, well, time to go fly this helicopter, because he's a hero. He's not one of those, he's not gonna hide at HQ, he's a cool billionaire.
No. With his little sunglasses.
This is stupid.
Yes. Yes, well, the whole, because Claire was, like, nauseous in the last helicopter ride, because he isn't certified yet.
And he sucks at flying, but he's the only guy who knows how to fly a helicopter, even though those engine guys showed up on a helicopter. Yeah. Why don't he just get the engine guys to fly the helicopter?
Dude, What is that, right? Somebody, yeah, what?
They don't need to use the Raptors. You could just fly the damn helicopter. You brought paramilitary forces. What are we doing? Zach and Gray fix up the car. Zach starts being nicer to his brother.
Remember, believe it when we say that we help fix Uncle Blah Blah Blah's old Malibu.
Remember when we just used to fix up old cars?
This age, yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Believable.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like 15 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, they get the car running and they take off. There's a funny joke about how even though Zach can fix a car, he failed his driver's test. But only the driving part, and that's pretty fun. Some good one-liners in this.
It's not hard to pass the driving test.
It's much harder to repair the car's engine, okay?
Yeah, for real. It's not that hard. My God.
I can't imagine, like, repairing cars with your uncle for a long time, and he never lets you drive any of them. That seems mean.
As a kid, I, like, sat in my grandpa's lap and steered while he...
Yeah, like, that's how you do it.
...pressed the brake, and, yeah. And, like... our high school parking lot.
Nice.
That's also where I learned to ride a motorcycle, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Claire and Owen hear the car and show up at the garage. They think the boys must have just gotten away. Owen is about to make their own getaway when Super Dino shows up. And somehow it doesn't notice them, though, because they, like, hide behind a car. But just kidding, it stomps through the roof. But then they just run away from it.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep.
They just kind of get away. That's a pretty fun scene. I mean, again, it doesn't work for this dinosaur because it has heat vision. It can see you.
Yeah, yeah. You set up a lot of things that you not only don't pay off, but just, like, disregard.
Yeah. So, like, they're trying... I know they're trying to, like, hide from it in the way that, like, oh, they hid from the T-Rex or they hid from the Raptors in the first movie, but it doesn't work for this dinosaur.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work. I guess it doesn't work because it finds them, but whatever. The helicopter shows up. Maserati sucks at flying, but we're doing it anyway. Super Dino is running towards the bird cage. They have a big bird cage. Yeah. They shoot it, but it rams the side of the bird cage and lets all the birds out. So several dinosaur birds fly into the helicopter, killing everyone on board.
Yes.
And we're all real sad that the billionaire dies, I guess.
Nah.
Why does this happen? Why did they just have a bird cage with like one
because
layer?
It was the movie they put. Sometimes I think I put this note in here. Sometimes it seems like some scenes in movies are only in there to serve the trailer and not the plot of the movie itself. It's like just to have a cool... Because, right, it's the scene where the helicopter crashes into the ceiling and then drops on the ground and explodes and the Indominus Rex runs away, where it's like, cool guys don't look at fire moment.
Yeah, it
for
is.
The
it
movie
totally,
trailer.
It totally doesn't look at it. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Anyway, now there's a super dino loose, and there's also a lot of, like, pterodactyl-ass dinosaurs loose, too. So,
There's one. I had to Google this because it's, like, I don't know, pterodactyls, pteranodons, whatever. But there's one weird one where it looks like it has a T-Rex head on a pterodactyl body.
I'm like,
what
like
the
that.
Hell is that thing? I hate that.
That looks bad.
I had to look it up, and I couldn't remember if that was, like, a real dinosaur or not, but I hated it.
Anyway, Zach and Gray are about to make it back to the park when, oh no, pterodactyls on your six, and they drive back to the main park.
Oh, you like the guards.
There's two guards on the wall because they're like, open the gate, and the guards are just like looking at them, and they're looking at the pterodactyls, and they're like, well, that's a first. It's funny. Anytime like something crazy is going on and we cut to like two dudes just like standing far away being like, that's wild. It's always good. Good bit.
Mm-hmm.
Player known, get on an ATV and drive off. Meanwhile, at the main park, guests are told to shelter immediately, seconds before pterodactyls descend on them and start murdering all of them. We watch a bunch of people get mauled. The engine guy sees this and thinks that now is his chance. Owen and Claire show up at the main park, and Zach and Gray are back. We're all here together. We get an extremely long sequence of Zar, their handler, getting killed that lasts like a full minute.
Yeah, this is like what people cite as like the best kill in the franchise,
what?
Which I was like, no way.
They think it's the best kill?
It's also the only female to be killed in the franchise. But no, I don't think so at all. Because basically, one of the pterodactyls pick her up, drop her, catch her, and then they fly over the water, and then splash her in the water, and then pick her back up, and then the Mosasaur comes through the water and eats. So it's like, her held by the pterodactyl being eaten by the Mosasaur. So like, They really went all out in that scene. But no, I don't think it's the best death. I think the best death in this franchise is Eddie Carr being torn in half by two T-Rexes.
Yeah, this is the thing I remember the first time I saw this movie.
She's a character we don't care about.
And it was extremely bizarre because, one, it's like a very long sequence. It's also a long sequence for a character that, like, it feels like this is reserved for a character you don't like, but instead it's a character you just don't know.
We hate women.
Like,
Get her out of here. It's weird.
It's so bizarre that this is such a long sequence that has, like, multiple parts to it. But, like,
yeah.
Because, like, most of the time Jurassic Park is pretty clear about who gets killed and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it's so long that they are able to run across the street to get to the tank to watch her final. That's how long it is.
Yeah, it's such like a bizarre. I don't. Is it like? Is there like a contract in this actress's thing for being like, I have to have this much screen time? Like, I don't know what's happening. It's so weird, especially because like other people are gonna die.
That's why. That's what you get for being a bad babysitter.
But that's whatever, man. You know, like that's so weird, especially because like people who deserve to get mauled to death don't in this movie. You know what I mean? Like it's nothing.
Dinosaurs eat. Yeah, for justice.
It's very weird. I don't like this. I think this is weird. I think this, it feels like she should have been more, like there was more written for her character that got cut. Like she was supposed to be like the mean babysitter or something.
Yeah,
but there's just nothing. She's just some random woman, basically.
Yeah, I guess they just really like the Mosasaur and keep giving it more opportunities.
Well, we have to remind you that it's in the movie because it's going to be important for one more scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Owen and the security team start tranquilizing dinosaurs while Claire looks for the kids. Zach and Gray almost get got, but don't. Owen almost gets got, but is saved by Claire, who, like, gets a dinosaur off him because she shoots it with a trank gun, and then he pulls her in for a kiss afterwards because we're action heroes. Yay, you guys seen an action movie? You guys seen Die Hard? It's like that. Woohoo!
First kiss in a Jurassic movie.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No. Well, it's like, because I feel like he never looks at her for who she is, except for this. He's only impressed because, I don't know, it's like weird. Because it doesn't ever feel like he's focusing on her. He's focusing on what's happening. So for this to be the moment that he finally focuses on her, it feels weird.
Yeah, it's weird. They reunite with the kids and give extremely little attention to the ongoing crisis while they all introduce each other to each other. This was weird.
They have a whole scene where they're like,
is this your boyfriend? Like, oh no, these are the kids, all this other stuff. There's pterodactyls in the streets mauling people and they're having this conversation.
There's a funny scene where people are running from the pterodactyls where there's one guy running away but holding his two margaritas, like saving his margaritas.
Isn't that Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, I think so.
More cameos.
Uh-huh.
Engine guy shows up and takes command. He puts his guys in charge, and we see a new helicopter show up, and they have real guns. More real guns. Engine guy's plan is to use the Raptors, and Owen hates it. He's like, you can't use the Raptors, but he's like, we're doing it. We're using the Raptors. And Owen's like, okay.
With or without you. Yeah.
The engine security team shows up, and they're ready to use a bunch of Raptors they met today to help them fight a single dinosaur, is my note. This is the plot.
Well, we needed the Raptors and motorcycles scene for the cover art of the movie.
Owen shows up and gets mad at Engine because you can't use Raptors like that, but they're in charge now, so he goes along with the plan.
They're his Raptors, yeah.
Owen introduces Zach and Gray to the Raptors, and we learn that Blue is the beta and Owen is the alpha. Oh, I'm the alpha, guys. They're like, who's the alpha Raptor? It's like, oh, it's Owen. And he's like, oh, shit.
You're looking at him, kid.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so fucking cool.
Yeah, we see, this is just why it's like, it's too much about him. I hate that. I want it to be about the dinosaurs.
There's so many scenes that are just talking about how cool Owen is.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
It's over the top. Yeah,
it's
he
like a
does
bunch of
have
parody.
A nice body, I will say.
Yeah, but like...
And I like his style. I love a man with cargo shirts or whatever he's wearing.
Zach and Owen are sent to hang out in a truck. Zach tells Gray that they're brothers and they'll stick together no matter what now because, okay. Owen on a motorcycle sets out with the Raptors as they hunt the Super Dino. There's a part where they show you a POV of the Velociraptor camera, and I hate it because it makes me nauseous. It's just, like, moving too fast.
Oh, really?
It's so hard to tell. It doesn't really make me nauseous. I'm just like, I hate looking at this. Did you like it?
Yeah. I'm whatever about it. This is just so we can have the like player reacting thing and more opportunities to compliment Chris Pratt's character.
Yes. Oh my God. They ride.
And then his poor friend is on the ATV, which isn't as cool as the motorcycle.
Nah, it's because he's not the hero. They ride out, and the Raptors behave exactly like the engine guy said they would, and leads the strike team to the Super Dino. So I'm like, oh, he was just right. This is where I have a note where there's so many lines about how Owen is cool, because like they're watching him ride, and like Zach or something is like, or Gray is like, oh, mom, your boyfriend, or Aunt Claire, your boyfriend's so cool. And she's like, yeah, he is cool. And I'm like, are you serious? We just saw you say him say he's the alpha. What are we doing?
Maybe Colin Trevorrow loves Chris Pratt as much as my grandma.
Oh my God,
does.
We're just riding his dick so hard in this movie. It's insane. The Raptors and Super Dino meet up and they start talking to each other, and Owen realizes that part of Super Dino is part Raptor. Uh-oh. The Raptors turn on him.
This is supposed to be the like cool, like, is this such a pale comparison? Because Grant understood dinosaurs, and this is like, now it's dawning. I don't know. This is Owen's being like, oh, now I know why they didn't tell us about what's in the rest of that dinosaur. Because it's Raptor.
Why wouldn't they tell them that?
Because they'd be embarrassed because those are what took down the first park. And also, we're going to set loose the animals that took down the first park voluntarily.
Like,
I will say, I very much like the way the raptors run in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because it feels much more predatory, and like they're leaning into the run, and they use the tail more for like balance and stuff. So I do like the like movement of the raptors in this movie a lot.
Yeah, I don't like the other CG dinosaurs, but I do like the raptors. I think the raptors look pretty good in this.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Raptors and the Super Dino start talking to each other, and then they turn on them. They turn traitor and join Super Dinosaur side. It's extremely funny.
Yeah.
It's like the funniest scene.
Yeah, you do get
the
camera of all of them.
They like turn around. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Engine fires on the dinosaurs, but can't kill it, and it runs away. I don't understand how they screw this up. The Raptors start picking off. The Raptors start picking off the strike team one by one. Owen runs into one of the Raptors, and it seems to recognize him, and then it gets blown up by an RPG. It's so funny. This is so funny.
It's one of the ones I like. I hate this.
This scene is so hilarious, dude. It's like they all just turn traitor, and they're like ripping apart the engine guys, and then Chris Pratt sees one. He's like, hey, you remember me, buddy? Do you remember me? And the Raptor's like, oh, I do remember you. You're my old alpha. And then he just blows up. It's like a comedy scene, but it's played straight. It's so funny.
God.
Owen's coworker is pinned down by Blue, where he's like hiding inside of like a log while Blue is like snapping at him.
Which is very much like in Jurassic World with Sarah and the, sorry, I'm going to keep doing that. Like her in the log with the like a stag tail coming in through the, yeah, sorry.
Yep. No, I mean, it is. This is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not scoffing at you pointing it out. I'm scoffing at this movie just recreating
scenes
poorly.
They're just not meaningful call outs. Yeah. I can see what they're trying to do.
Owen gets his attention on the motorcycle because he's the cool action hero and leads it away. Claire and the boys watch a guy get eaten by a raptor before driving off in the truck. They watch a guy die.
Okay, that's all we see is like that guy with a little blood. Well, first he had blood on his hand already. So like, did he get attacked and then escape from the raptors to warn them and then get attacked again? But also it's like in the first movie and the second movie, we get like bits. We see like debris of people, which makes sense. We don't see anything like that in any of this.
Nope.
We don't have, yeah.
There's no like you back up into someone's hand.
There's
and you
no think crazy
it's...
boat with the hands hanging on the steering. Yeah.
<That's>
Mr. Arnold.
They don't have that.
Mr. Arnold's arm.
We don't have the
stutter,
we don't have the T Rex,
you know,
taking over the boat somehow.
Yeah. Just the adults.
Claire drives the truck and they're being pursued by raptors. So Zach starts throwing stuff at them like it's Mario Kart out of the back of the truck. This is actually pretty funny. They find a zap stick and zap one of the raptors before we can eat them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate the like, oh God, because Gray's like, oh my God, I can't wait to tell mom. And Claire's like, no, don't, please don't tell your mother. I'm like, lame. I hate this.
What, that line? Or like, I
yes. Because it's like, ugh. No, I hate it. I hate that so much.
Okay.
It felt so cheesy.
Yeah, like, it's kind of goofy.
No, kid. The first thing after you get almost killed is, oh, I can't wait to tell my mom. Ow. Lame. Okay, whatever. I hate that so much.
Owen catches up with them while Claire calls in a helicopter pickup. Back at the lab, Dr. Wu is evacuating the lab. InGen guy calls him and tells him that the park is toast and that he's a ship out now. Back at the park lobby, injured people are waiting to evacuate. A guy at HQ decides to stay behind while the rest evacuate. He tries to hit on his coworker, but she's taken already, and I don't understand why this scene happens. Obviously, this is a character actor I'm supposed to like. Who's this guy? From New Girl?
Jake Johnson.
Okay.
I don't remember the character's name. I don't know.
We don't get enough screen time with this guy for me to understand what's happening here.
Larry. His name's... No, Lowry is his last name. Lowry.
Okay. This would have been funny in another movie, I think. If this was like Pacific Rim, this probably would have been funny. But because I don't remember this guy, because 10,000 things have happened between the last time I saw him, I don't understand what's happening. Wu evacuates with some samples. Owen and the crew get back to HQ and find InGen, the InGen guy, taking stuff from the lab. He gives a monologue about, like, the future of dinosaurs and things like that, but is interrupted when a raptor shows up and eats him, and this feels extremely random to me.
Oh, yeah, how is it? It's caught up, and it's conveniently where they were, and not, like, with the Indominus Rex.
Yeah, it stopped chasing Claire and Zach and Gray, and it went to this lab, and it eats this guy's hand. And he dies mostly off screen. The guy I hate the most dies in a lame way, but we get to watch Zara get like dragged.
Get the dramatic blood splat on a like window or something.
It's like a B movie. It's terrible, that scene.
For some reason, I have a note in that says redemption for trees. Oh, never mind. That's
what?
Redemption. Never mind. It's redemption for T-Rex.
Oh, okay.
Never
okay.
mind. I understand what that note means.
Like, I don't remember that.
I was like, what that means. Okay.
Okay. Owen and the crew run away and get surrounded by the three remaining raptors. He tries to reestablish alpha dominance by connecting with Blue, and it seems to work when then
with
suddenly
the
super dino shows up. There's nothing more alpha than hand, like than being like, it's me, Owen. I'm doing the hand thing. The super dino shows up and we get the question of who are the raptors going to identify as the alpha, Owen or this genetically modified dinosaur? Blue looks at Owen and then the super dino and then decides to side with Owen. Super dino smashes Blue into a wall while the other two attack it. Owen starts shooting too while Claire and the kids take cover. Gray suggests that they need more teeth to take down super dino, so Claire grabs a flare and runs off.
I think I just hate Gray as a kid.
He sucks and doesn't do anything?
Well, I'm like, that's so lame to say we need more teeth. Need more How about teeth? You say it in a coherent way? Like,
because
hey,
there's no way you can make
pout.
What she's the about to do sound anything
suggestion.
Other than
yeah.
stupid. Hey, go get another dinosaur to fight this dinosaur.
Okay, this is what I will say. This is a form of not perverted fan service. This is fan service, technically, what they're doing with their T-Rex here.
Yes, it is.
I'd say.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the raptors gets flayed. Like, it gets thrown into a window and then lit on fire.
Oh my god, it falls on the hibachi grill.
It falls on the hibachi grill.
I hate it. It made me sad.
And the other one just kind of gets chomped, I guess. So it's 2-on-1 now, where one of them is Owen. So it's not going great. Claire tells the last HQ guy to open one of the cages, and he's like, oh, that sounds bad, but then he does it. Claire ignites the flare and starts running, leading a T-Rex out of its cage. It's a T-Rex!
It's not only a T-Rex, it's the T-Rex, Rexy from the first movie.
Really? They kept that alive?
Yes, because at the end of the movie, it shows the scar she got from the raptors in the first movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we brought out the big guns. Things are looking bad for Owen and the kids when Claire leads the T-Rex to the super dino just in time. I have the T-Rex smashes the dinosaur bones like the first movie. Wow. And then I put, this sucks. I was not into that.
Yeah. Well, right, the flare. It's not,
it's too on the nose.
Satisfying fan service. Yeah.
And I like that it's the dinosaur now that you pointed it out, but I don't need all of the lead up.
No. Also, it's like, even when we get the right characters where this stuff would pay off in Dominion, it's still bad. Which Colin Trevorrow is the one behind that. I don't know if he's just like a super fan that can't see beyond
dude,
his admiration.
This is what happens in every, this is why every reboot fucking sucks now. Is that like everybody's just like, we gotta honor the original, and it's just terrible.
Yeah. I mean, because Steven Spielberg's a producer on this, so you think he'd be like, calm down, my guy. Like, this, maybe this is a tad too much.
I think he's just cashing
in a check. Stop copying everything I did 30 years ago.
I think he's just cashing in a check, man. I think he's out of it.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs fight. T-Rex goes down round one, but it's almost curtains when Blue shows back up, and Blue and T-Rex double team Super Dino while the humans run away. Super Dino is backed against the lake, and then suddenly the dino fish eats him. Kind of out of nowhere.
Yes, the Mosasaur.
It gets him.
Beaches and snags it and takes it down.
Yeah, remember when this thing was super intelligent, but then it gets owned by like a tag team? He gets tag teamed.
The only reason it was smart was to explain how it could get loose, and then that was the end.
Like,
of
it
that,
just stopped being smart. Anyway, T-Rex and Blue exchange looks, and then the T-Rex walks away. In like a very fun scene. Owen and Blue lock eyes before Blue takes off too. I like that. I like that they all just look at each other.
Rexy's
and like,
first
well.
Rodeo. Yeah, this is just a day in the life of Rexy. Man. No, I guess this is. Well, yeah, it's not gonna end like the last one where she kills the raptor. So
no,
raptors have redeemed themselves in Rexy's eyes.
We cut to people being treated in a medical facility. Zach Gray. And Gray are reunited with their parents, and Claire and Owen walk off together. Sometime later, we see a T-Rex stand on a helicopter pad as the Jurassic Park theme plays. It roars, and we cut to credits. The end.
Rexy. It's Rexy, and that's where you see the... Because she has the fresh wounds, and then now she has the... And she has the old scars from the original movie. But yeah, this is basically like just like correcting what happened in JP3 where the T-Rex gets owned immediately and everyone was pissed about it. So this is like the chance to reestablish the T-Rex as like the mascot and best dino of the franchise. Okay. So Jurassic World. I mean, it's fine. Like, it's fine. It's not good. I wouldn't say it's terrible. Or, like, maybe because there's so much going on that I can't focus on all the, like, imperfections. Like, Jurassic Park 3 is such a insulated, like, set and cast that's, like, easier to focus on all the things versus this. I'm distracted by all the things, I guess. But, yeah, my biggest thing is just, like, now Jurassic World is just about cool action stars and dinosaurs happen to be the threat. Versus the first one, the best one being about the behavior and, you know, the process of setting these up and then the folly of mankind. And not enough like bad, like people we hate. Honestly, the first movie and the second movie are the only ones that give us like characters we dislike enough that we rejoice for their death by dinosaur. I need more characters like that where it's satisfying to.
Yeah.
See them die.
The problem with this movie, I think, and why I don't like it very much.
The one and only?
The main problem with this movie and why I don't like it very much is that it's supposed to be an action movie and all the action sequences suck. In the first three movies, I remember action sequences. When I think of Jurassic Park 1 action sequences, I think of like the T-Rex coming and chomping those cars and flipping them over. Or I think of the raptors hunting down the kids in the kitchen. You know, stuff that you remember. In Jurassic Park 2, I think
the
of
dinosaurs
the...
dinosaurs...
What?
Interacting with the world around
right, in
them.
Jurassic Park 2, I think about the, like, getting that car trailer getting pushed off the cliff while the other guy tries to save them. And then I think about, like, the big raptor scene where they're, like, going through the little town and they're, like, on the roof with the tiles and they're jumping around and they're kicking the raptors at the end, you know? Fun sequences. And even Jurassic Park 3, I think of like the part where they go through the mist and it's like on the bridge with them, right? Or they're
in
the
birdcage thing is
and
good.
Like they get attacked and they open the door on it and they swing the door around and run away. Mm-hmm. And what all of those have in common, that those are action sequences with multiple parts to them, whether it starts in a part and then it ends in a different place. This movie doesn't have that. You don't have any prolonged action sequences that, like, have more than one part to it. It's either Owen and... not Owen. It's either Zach and Gray almost get chomped in the ball and they jump into a waterfall, ending it immediately, or they get attacked in the street, but then it gets cut off because we have to introduce all the characters. Like, there's no continuous action sequences I can think of, which is why I don't remember anything about this movie ever. Like, what's a cool action sequence in this movie? The part where the CG dinosaurs fight each other and it's really confusing because we keep cutting away from them?
Yes. I guess what's the most memorable of the unmemorable, unremarkable movie?
Like, I mean, the longest scene is the one where, like, the super dino is fighting all the other dinosaurs, but we don't get to see it that much.
Yeah, I guess I guess the most, like, satisfying thing is probably, like, the getting to set loose the raptors and, like, for at least a 5 seconds have it be, like, a cool, team with the raptors deal, like, all the training paying off, but then that immediately gets cut short.
I mean...
no one interacts with anyone dinosaur enough either.
No. Well, and this is, like, except I feel for, like, what you said is right, where you're like, all of these scenes are made for the trailer. This feels like a movie that was made for the trailer.
Yeah.
Because, like, the part where they're running is cool. Yes. But it's cool for a trailer because then it leads to, like, an action sequence where they fight a bunch of raptors in the dark and it's really hard to tell what's happening. It's, like, too chaotic to be satisfying. You know what I mean? Like, in Jurassic Park 2, when that happens, that's part one of a multi-part sequence.
Yes.
Then they go and do other stuff.
Well, and there's, like, different characters within the same... versus, like, in that scene, it's only Chris Pratt and the other guy. And even that guy feels like an afterthought. But, like, there's not... any, it's not even, like, direct contact with a single dinosaur. It's just the whole area is chaotic and not that it's, like, so-and-so gets cornered by this dinosaur. You know, like, even the Compy and JP or The Lost World, where it's, like, you know, this is this dinosaur's revenge for what this character did to them earlier. You know, like, there's no connection between the attacks. Like,
no. And it's like the dinosaurs are just wherever they need to be. Like, they're all getting it. They're all attacked. The raptors are attacking the engine guys. Yes. And then they're all chasing Claire in the truck. And then they're attacking the engine guy in the lab. Like, it doesn't do that. It doesn't even do the Jurassic Park 1 thing that it did so well, which is, different characters are having different plot lines and their action sequences are happening simultaneously. Nobody does anything simultaneously in this movie.
No. Yes. We put Zach and Gray on hold for a long time before they even get any. I feel like this was received fine. Like, I don't think it was considered a huge flop, but also obviously nothing could ever live up to the first
one. I feel like, modern blockbusters have just been kind of, like, gotten this thing where they're just like, oh, they're just, like, dumb action movies. Like, you want to go and, like, watch some dumb stuff for, like, a couple hours. But, like, they used to be more interesting than this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, not all of them, obviously. Like, there was a lot of stupid, like, blockbuster movie, like, action blockbuster movies back in the day, too. But, like, I don't know. This would not be, like, a good addition to the franchise if we're taking, like, the franchise seriously, I feel like, because it's just so, like, this made a bunch of money, right, which is why they made a bunch of stuff, even though I think this movie is, like, pretty bad. It's doing way too much stuff. There's, like, so many plot lines that just don't matter. Like, what's your main takeaway from this movie? My main takeaway is that, like, they really want you to love Owen, and that Owen is a cool guy. He's a cool action hero guy, and everybody loves him.
Well, this is the only trilogy where it's, like, we had the same main character through all three, being Owen and Claire, kind of. I mean, I guess we get introduced to Claire before we do Owen. So is she supposed to be the main character? Because he's definitely stealing the spotlight from her.
I don't think so. Like, if you're going to make a sequel, I'm expecting Owen to be in it. I'm not expecting Claire to be in it. Like, if she's not in it, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. So you have not seen Fallen Kingdom?
No, I don't know what comes next.
Okay. Because I think out of the new trilogy, people really don't like Fallen Kingdom. I kind of like it more. Because, again, like, similar to The Lost World, it has more eerie, dark, like, sets and stuff. Like, leaning more into the danger and tension of dinosaurs rather than the action. It's not as action-y. Or at least it's kind of weird because it's like the movie is split into two main sets.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be like maybe we don't like this one and then we like this one, or one drags on too long. It's directed by, oh dear God, he does The Orphan and the Society of the Snow.
I don't know.
Oh God, what's his name? J.J. Bayona is the director of this one.
Okay.
But then they go back to, so I don't know if it's like Colin Trevorrow wasn't available to do the second one and that's why someone else did, or if they were giving someone new a chance and they didn't like how it went, so they switched back.
This feels, go ahead.
Yeah. Nope. I was just going to say, I think I only saw Dominion once, and so it'll be good to rewatch it, but I like despise Dominion in theaters. I was so disappointed. So,
okay.
I didn't feel that way with Fallen Kingdom or this one even. But I guess that's always the case with like the final entry of something, is that it's like, oh, you don't have something to hope for to make things better or pay off later. Like, this is it. So it gets harsher.
Feels so much like the Star Wars sequel trilogy to me, because it's like people like Force Awakens or whatever, which is a movie that mostly people like because it feels like A New Hope or like it feels like the original trilogy, but it doesn't actually do anything with it. It's just like gesturing at things. Mm. And this movie, Jurassic World, feels like it's gesturing at Jurassic Park, but it doesn't do anything. Like,
yeah,
there's so many plot lines. Like, there's the engine guy doing all that stuff and like treating T-Rex or treating the raptors like they're tools or whatever. And we don't like that. But that also doesn't really matter that much, because it's like, well, all the raptors just get killed anyway. And like, I guess Blue is our friend, but not really, but kind of, I don't know. And we also kind of use the T-Rex like a tool at the end. It's kind of like a power up we activate. You know what I mean? So that's weird. You think it might be about like, oh, we're doing Jurassic Park again. Have they learned anything from, like, is this going to mirror what happened in Jurassic Park 1? Are we going to learn from the mistakes of Jurassic Park 1? But that just never really comes up ever. Like, we introduce Maserati or whatever, and he just like is there and then he dies and nothing really happens with him. Like, we try to do the thing with Claire learning to become a parent. Like, oh, she doesn't want to have kids. Well, maybe at the end of this, she will want to have kids. But it's like, she doesn't really interact with Zach or Gray, aside from trying to keep them from dying, which is just normal stuff. So that didn't really pay off. Zach and Gray becoming better brothers only happens because you put them in a life-threatening situation, which like doesn't resolve any of the actual problems they were having up to this point. It's just like it's just them saying, we're going to be better brothers now.
I will say, in the novel for the original book, Lex and Tim do not get along. He's like annoyed by her. And that's like not something they implemented. And I know for this new movie, they're like pulling something that also wasn't utilized from the original novel, of like a big thing people wanted to have happened in the original movie that didn't. It's like the things that weren't used in the movies for the original, they're like pulling and trying to use. As like, I think another way to be like, look, it's a thing you guys wish had happened. We're doing it now, but will it be like, will it fit into the plot? Will it be what we had hoped? Was it better if you just left in the book without getting compared to the original even more?
Yeah.
Because this new one's going to be compared to Jurassic World trilogy and not the Jurassic Park as much, even though it's claiming to be like, we're trying to return more to the tone of the first movie. But again, with like a big action star we're casting, Scarlett Johansson, and then I'm like, great, it's just gonna be about her now.
I don't know. I am not, this is not making me look forward to the other Jurassic World movies.
We've also, okay, is Jeff Goldblum white technically, or
I don't know,
because like it's been a very like, we only have white protagonists.
Well, that's just Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Dr. Wu at least gets to, he continues to be a character in the rest of the trilogy. I don't know. At least Camp Cretaceous is incredibly diverse.
Yep.
Okay. Well.
All right. What's the next one? Is it Fallen Kingdom? Is it Dominion or is it Fallen Kingdom?
It's Fallen Kingdom. Okay. Is the next one. Here's the print on that Jurassic MeUndies thing. So it's like raptors and bush.
Isn't that's cute? Fine. I'm going to watch the trailer if you want to talk. I'm going to watch the Fallen Kingdom trailer because I've never seen.
Wait, will you? Okay,
I'll stream it.
Will you share it? Yeah. Because I did look back and watch the trailer for Jurassic World to see how it was set up then. And they're definitely leaning in more to like the running park aesthetic rather than nature-y. But
I'm watching Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom official trailer from Universal Pictures 7 years ago. Let's see it.
I know, 7 years ago.
I'll maybe splice the audio in if I feel like doing it.
Okay.
They're playing pool. So, what are you dating like? They're back. Oh, Claire's back. Ventriloquist? Stop it. You love a dummy. This is not why we're here. Honestly, I think they should just have more banter between Claire and Owen. They're fun. I need less of, I have to think of Owen as a cool action hero and more of just like, what if he was a fun guy?
A rescue op. Save the dinosaurs from the island that's about to explode.
They're going to go rescue the dinosaurs before the island.
Is this explodes. Exposition? Is that what exposition is?
What?
Raised her. Baby Blue is so cute.
They gotta go save Blue before the island explodes.
But see, it has like an eerie sound cue.
Or should they just be left to die?
Like spooky theme.
If we're not careful,
music.
They're gonna be here after.
Okay, but this feels like we're doing a horror
the
movie.
The Baryonyx. Yeah. Well, this director has done horror movies.
Oh, well, that owns. I think that's going to whip.
Yeah. Don't say whip.
I think it's going to whip ass. I think it's going to be great.
Okay, yeah. But see more dinosaurs. That's fun. Carnotaurus. See, the goddamn gyrosphere is back. See, look, she's super scarred up now.
Life cannot be contained. Life breaks free. Life finds a way.
There's no way. I feel like those dinosaurs would just sink, right? Surely dinosaurs that heavy cannot swim.
All right, well.
Makes me sad.
I hope it's a horror movie.
Right, well, because I think that's what would make a Jurassic Park movie be fun and different is to take that kind of approach.
Also, they did Jurassic Park 3, and that's why it was fun.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's good. I said it was fun.
Well, this one like is visually leaning into that aesthetic of being dark and using music like that. I feel like maybe the action sequences of 3 were kind of like that, but it was still a very bright environment and because for Jurassic World, you think they would come back with more cool dinosaurs since they talk about having so many more dinosaurs now, but we see Ankylosaur, we see the Indominus Rex, but we don't really see any other dinosaurs feature. But, from this trailer alone, you're seeing we have an Allosaurus, we have Carnotaurus, the Ankylosaur again, and lots of dinosaurs. And right?
Yeah.
What can you gather the plot might be about from that trailer?
Well, I know they're going to go back and try to rescue Blue before, I guess the island's going to blow up. And they got to go rescue Blue before that happens.
Yes.
Yep.
So we go back to the island yet again.
Of course
again.
We do. What else do we have to do?
It'll never be a part of the movie, right? Yeah. I like it. I think it's my favorite of the Jurassic World trilogy.
Okay.
Unpopular opinion, I think, but I like it.
All right. Well, next time we're going to be watching that.
Fallen Kingdom.
Stay tuned to our...
Yeah.
Oh, what's your ranking? What's our overall Jurassic Park ranking?
Mine is Jurassic World, Jurassic World Lost.
No. Out of all the Jurassic Park movies that we've watched.
Oh, yeah. The first one, number one. The second one, number two. And then I would say Jurassic World. I, like, have always, like, thought so poorly of Jurassic Park 3 that I want to rank this above Jurassic Park 3. But you made good points for Jurassic Park 3 when we covered it. So I guess I'll do 3 and then this.
Yeah. This is so, also my last rank.
No change up.
So yeah. 1, 3, 2, 4 for me.
Yep. Oh, yes. Excited for these characters to return.
All two of them?
What if, yeah. Yeah. Well, yes.
I'll be interested to see why Claire goes. So, she doesn't really seem like she belongs.
No, after the park closes, no. Yep. So, okay. Yep. End of bonus episode, that's, I guess, it. Folks. And we're going to try and knock out the other two before the new movie comes out. And since we're coming to a close, or we're, you know, halfway through Jurassic coverage, if you guys have anything else you would like us to do that isn't necessarily shoujo related, we can cover in like a bonus episode or two. Feel free to send those suggestions to us via, you know, like Instagram DMs or our email shoujopod@gmail.com. So yeah, bonus episodes are a fun way to hear your favorite dynamic duo was Joe and Sarah talking about
That's
stuff.
Right.
Yes. Otherwise, we're going to go with something Joe's super into.
That's right.
Make me watch it.
Make you watch the Gundam movies or something.
We got to do KOTOR. Where are you at KOTOR? Did you drop that for the new Elden Ring?
I have not been playing. I've been trying to get through 1,000 times resist, so I've not been playing KOTOR that much, but I should be starting to focus on that more relatively soon.
Okay, cool. I'll be excited to do that.
Yeah, we'll have more stuff in the pipe. Cool. But for now, next time, Jurassic Park Fallen World. Or Jurassic World Fallen Park.
Yes.
I don't know. Whatever. The next movie. You know what it is.
Jurassic World Fallen
That's
Kingdom.
Right.
So keep an eye out for it. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.